Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth
drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-word, along with my astonishing co-host, Miss 100%. And tonight we have author Esther Lighthorse. So if you want to get deep tonight, give us a call, 646-929-2037 is the call number. Once again, 646-929-2037. Because, like I said, I understand some of y'all don't like calling. That's understandable. You're a tad bit shy. Feel free to email me your questions, comments, and concerns at dick@smoothdrama.com. Once again, email me your questions, comments, and concerns if you're too afraid to call. Dick@smoothdrama.com. I got you. Also, because we are very sociable here at Smooth Drama. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, Tag, MySpace, my yearbook. I'm pretty much LinkedIn. You name them, I'm on them. If you want to catch me on Facebook, Tag, MySpace, my yearbook, LinkedIn, I'm Dick Hunter. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm Smooth Drama. And to catch up to my astonishing co-host, you can go to our Smooth Drama site and go to our About Us page, and you can hit and find out about Miss 100%, and then you can go to her page and you can like everything that she does and says. Like. Speaking of like, I was reading, and I have to preface this, that I found it, I first saw it on Facebook, and I looked it up, and the only place that I could find it was on an obscure website with Iranian and World News, where there was a report that the State Department proposes a new way of getting a passport. Supposedly, a new form DS-5513, asks for, and this is so you can get a passport now. You have to have all your addresses since birth, lifetime employment history, including employers and supervisors' names, address, and telephone numbers. Personal details of all siblings, because, of course, we know that you know all the personal details of your siblings, and your mother's address 1 year prior to your birth, and any religious ceremony around the time of your birth. Because I know for me personally, I don't know about you, Ms. 100%, that soon as the doctor smacked me on the ass, I was lucid, I was ready, I understood the English language, and I knew the numbers and details of everything, including my mother's address before I was born, when I was conceived.
And you can remember all that as well?
Of course.
Including
my employers and supervisors' names, addresses, and telephone numbers.
Well, let me get this straight. I don't have a passport.
Mm-hmm.
So is this for me, or is this for a particular type of a person,
well,
a particular type of people trying to get a passport?
Well, now, once again, I have to preface this by saying this is a report that was found off of a website that is obscure. We don't know if it's necessarily true. I did a little digging, and I couldn't find it anywhere else, but it's one of those purported things that out there. It's supposedly for all U.S. citizens, like if you want to get a passport and if you want to renew your passport, if you're an individual like myself who already has a passport. Now, yeah, I thought it was kind of funny because you think, and according to the State Department, they estimate that you should be able to complete all this information in just 45 minutes. I couldn't get all that in 45 days. Much less 45 minutes.
And so I heard that it takes several months to get approved for a passport now.
Yeah.
So with this new law or new rule, whatever you want to call it.
You can never leave the country ever again.
So now this means that it's going to take, what, 3 to 5 years to get passport? Because, of course, they have to validate all of the information, right?
Pretty much. We know how fast our government works. Wink, wink. Really, really fast. Anyway, I preface that this was not something that I found anywhere else.
Okay.
So we don't know if it's legitimate or not. But if it is, if you don't have a passport, you're probably never going to get one ever again.
Probably.
Yeah.
More than likely.
Yeah. I do have some good news, though.
Okay.
According to BBC, the international forces in Afghanistan say they have killed the number two insurgent target in the country. Senior Al-Qaeda leader Abdul Ghani. We really good at getting number two.
Right. So I'm like, what is this, the fifth or sixth time they killed number two?
Well, I think you need to times that times 10. You say the fifth or sixth. No, maybe the 50th or the 60th. Number two. We've been killing number two since this all went down in 2001.
Okay. Well, of course, if you kill number two, then a new number two comes up. So then they have to kill number two again.
Well,
so,
the spots you don't want to have is you don't want to be like spot. You don't want to even be in the top 10.
Because, right.
I want to be. I wouldn't be in the top, you know, from 25 on down or number one. Because we never kill the number one guy.
Number one never gets caught. Right. Nobody has seen or heard from number one.
Right. But number two, I mean, if you're the number three guy, you're like, should I quit?
Well, wait, am I confusing something? I thought number one was supposed to be Osama bin Laden.
Yeah. Now, technically, we know him as the artist formerly known as Osama bin Laden.
Right, because he's supposed to have been dead.
Right. He's supposed to be dead. So you hold the American people and the people abroad to, hey, the number one guy, we don't talk about that. But we get the number two every time. I just want to be number 26. Just in case. And so,
how could you not number two?
Right. So if they knock off 2 through 25, be like, I quit. I resign.
Well, quit when they get to number 21, then quit.
Right. Well,
you'll see the trend by then.
Right. Well, I figure if they knock off 10 and I get into the teens, I'm cashing out my Al-Qaeda 401. My 401k, I need that, homie. I'm out. I'm goat hurting from here on. It's a done deal. It's a wrap. So good news to the people who pay attention to that stuff. We got him again.
Again. I mean, I can only imagine what's going on in the mind of the person who's next to be number two. Like, oh, hell no, not me.
Well, you think about it. I'm gonna take a guess here that they probably don't know they're number two until it's too late.
They don't know that they're number two. Well, congratulations, you're number two.
Right. You know, ain't no Al-Qaeda newsletter where they have the ranking and you see yourself moving up the ranking. It's like you just open up the newsletter like, oh, shit, I'm number two. And boom, you hear the explosion. And it's too late.
Like, wow.
Right. So, I mean, that's what I suspect is happening, you know. But that's just me. Now, there was, you know, it was Easter weekend this just passed. And our favorite bishop, I like to talk about, he gave me an opportunity to talk. Eddie Long, he did his Easter message, which he kicked it off with his Good Friday sermon, in which he proclaimed, "This ain't gonna be no bad Friday for me. It's gonna be a good Friday." I guess.
All right.
Yeah. You know, he had a message that he was delivering during his sermon. Oh, you ain't messing with me. I shall rise again, and I ain't going through this. And he says, you'll have to go down there and let the devil know that what they thought was going to kill you didn't kill you. But what they thought was going to bring terror to you didn't bring terror to you, and you made the enemy's public spectacle.
Wow. Isn't that funny how people do things and always trying to blame the devil for it?
Well, I mean, because obviously the devil made him pick out that wig.
You say what?
The devil made him pick out that wig. I don't think that, you know, he was rolling with his homies. Well, I don't think he got real homies. He has people that he allegedly, anyway. But I'm thinking that his homies, there was nobody like, you know what, Eddie? That wig, that Jericho wig look good on you, dog. That's the one right there. I don't see it. I could be wrong. Maybe, you know, somebody was with him, but I think that had to be the devil. That had to be the devil.
Take your pick out his wig.
Yeah. And as always, since we got the devil picking out the wig, the devil makes me play this song because every time I get a chance to talk about Eddie Long, I also get a chance to play my favorite Aisha Sekhmet song, the Eddie Long song. We'll be right back.
God damn.
You are now tuned in.
I was sitting out
of
house smoking a blunt, flicking through the taillight vision, when a news flashed across the screen. Eddie Long molesting two little boys. Damn.
Eddie Long.
God.
Man, you know you're wrong.
No, you're wrong, Eddie.
Reality rap. Hey Bishop, what's under that skirt? Kill Illuminati all through your body. 12 gay shoddy, that's your new birth. Let's begin the matrix of the church. You gotta understand that it's mind control. White people made up Jesus. The world is ran by homosexuals. Eddie started with a small group of robots looking for something to ease their pain. Eddie Long is a mason, he know the truth. Religion is a way to make his pockets lean. Bootleg black selling bones, research that. ain't scared of your motherfuckers, bitch, know that. The game mafia, the brotherhood, they booted hoes the gateway to Hollywood.
Get it long,
damn it.
Why you got that wig on?
Man, this nigga got a wig on.
Get it long, get it long.
Man, this shit got a
thong. I bet your ass wear a thong.
Man, I bet that nigga got a thong on.
Get it long, get it long. Paying boys for the dome.
Man, do y'all see this shit?
Get it long, get it long.
Man, this shit fucked up, man. Damn.
Why you got that spandex on?
This nigga don't want fucking spandex,
damn, man.
You lying to the people, house nigga sissy. The ancestors school me. Talking that shit with a Johnny Taylor wig. In a pulpit smelling like booty. Take your charge, call on your white guard. You off your square. High raised man, stand before us. The night I'm in riots, even here. Jesus never had a girlfriend. That's what Eddie taught teenage boys. Bible scripture, mind control. Give him your tithes, he'll push a Bentley toy. Secret society side of me. They'll kill him if he expose the Illuminati. The crowd ain't asking, he ain't tell. Eddie tell them hoes what they wanna hear.
Eddie Long, Eddie Long.
Eddie Long,
why you got that wig on?
Man, this nigga got a wig on.
This shit gotta stop. Eddie Long, Eddie Long.
This shit gotta stop.
I bet your ass wear a thong.
Man, I bet that nigga got a thong on.
Eddie Long, Eddie Long.
When y'all gonna wake up and see this shit, man?
Paying boys for the dome.
Man, do y'all hear this shit?
Eddie Long, Eddie Long.
Man, this shit fucked up, man. Damn.
Why you got that spandex on?
This nigga don't want fucking spandex.
Represents the Jews, Zion order, he knows the truth. Take 5 rocks to hit Goliath with and rub him on the head of your shitty dick. Offering plate, big mistake. He'll lie to you so you pay for the cold case. Eddie land hands on his stone. Massaging boys while you get your praise on. Birds of a feather, flock together. It's all a scheme to push the gay agenda. Frank T sub dick, George Bush sub dick. Eddie fuck with T, I am ludicrous. Tommy D fuck Luda, a house nigga. They love asshole and they don't want women. Tell the truth to your congregation. Niggas blind to the path of pimp relation.
Eddie Long, Eddie Long. Why you got that wig on?
Man, this nigga got a wig on.
Get it long, get it long. I bet your ass wear a thong.
Man, I bet that nigga got a thong on.
Get it long, get it long. Paying boys for the dome.
Man, do y'all hear this shit?
Get it long, get it long.
Man, this shit fucked up, man. Damn.
Why you got that spandex on?
This nigga don't want fucking spandex.
Damn, man.
God said, because God said, give me some head. Watch this.
Together you got to move,
welcome back to Smooth Drop. That was Aisha's segment, the A Long song. I'm bound. It's one of them things that every time Eddie Long come out and he say something stupid, I kind of have to do it. It's compelling me to do it. On that note, we shall call our esteemed guest, Arthur Esther Lighthouse, so we can get her on and we can talk a little bit at, from sneakers to hats.
Hello.
Welcome to Smooth Drama. Esther, how you doing?
Very good. How about yourself?
I'm good.
Hello, Miss Lighthouse.
Pardon?
I say hello. This is Ms. 100%, the co-host of Smooth Drama. How are you?
I am very good. I was trying to get the Skype on my computer, but it's not obeying my commands.
Uh-oh. You know what that is? That's a conspiracy set up by the man to keep you down.
Oh, I love conspiracy theories. They're so wonderful. The little black helicopters that follow in the sky.
Uh-huh. Pretty much. Now, I wanted to ask you, I mean, because your author, in reading some of your work, which includes so the people know you wrote books, Turkey Broth for the Spirit, the Theologian's Spirit, the Tenement Gospel. And you have an offbeat way of asking questions. I know I read some of how you came up with it, but explain to our listeners what makes Esther Lighthorse tick.
It's huge problems that I see with religion and how people take it and abuse it to control other people, to get what they want. They take something that can be totally good and totally helpful, like many people are unfortunately want to do, and then they go and just abuse it. And I feel like institutionalized religion is just one big giant abuse after another. And whatever messages that they say were originally in the Bible, I'm sorry, I don't buy what they say. I think they've just taken it and twisted it, and now it's no longer a message of peace. It's my God's better than your God. So it actually started as, in one of my college classes, I was writing a paper on what I thought, you know, God Almighty meant through a particular message. I thought, hey, you know, I should write a collection of essays. And then it went to, hey, I should rewrite the New Testament. Because honestly, that was so fun. You have no idea how much fun that was.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, when you say something like that, a lot of people will say, sacrilege, but then they don't question none of the authors and the people who've done revisions like King James. Like, when you look up the history of King James, I'm like, and you want him editing something that you think is important?
He added all kinds of craziness. He added in the part about thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. You know, so then people are getting afraid of witches and they're burning people at the stake. There's nothing wrong with these people, or maybe they're mentally challenged or they have emotional or depression issues, and so you have all these innocent people dying. And the way that they tested whether or not these people were witches, have you ever read that? You know, they're going to put a lady, tie some rocks to her, if she sinks to the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, if she wasn't a witch, if she floats. that right there is the same kind of stuff that's in the Bible, and people don't question this stuff, and they need to. We have brains for a reason.
Right.
Do something with it.
Well,
you know, this whole idea of even our current wars going on in the world, oh my goodness, remove religion and people won't be fighting 90% of the time. They'll be happier.
No, that's the devil's greatest trick, by convincing you.
Oh, don't get me started, I'm the devil. Oh my God. I heard that all the time as a kid growing up. Oh, it's all a plot of the devil. I'm telling you, everything was from the devil.
Right. Yes.
And I just said that myself, Ms. Lighthorse. Why do people do things and it's from their own mind? They did it themselves, but they're always trying to put it off on the devil. The devil made me do it syndrome.
Because the devil is the biggest scapegoat in the history of anything. Really, the biggest scapegoat. And notice that people are very quick to give God a voice, but they don't give the devil a voice. But they're very quick to say anything that's bad is definitely from the devil.
Right.
Okay, you have all these preachers in their pulpit saying, Jesus says this, Jesus says this. Okay, but no one gives the devil a voice. That's why I wrote one of the essays, I think it's on boredom. The devil's like, you know, what is that old saying, idle hands are the work of the devil? And he's like, this is not me. I don't know what you guys are talking about. I am not the one making people do these things.
No.
People doing things out of their own free will.
Right.
Hold on. There's no such thing as free will.
So, Ms. Lightwood, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I had a question. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that there is free will so long as you have a free mind.
Exactly. So that no one will be confused with your writing, you're not against God in any way, shape, or form. You're against the way that the message about God is being conveyed through manipulative pastors, preachers, theologians, and people like that. Is that correct?
Correct. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
I think overall there's many good things that can come from religion, okay? When it's utilized properly, you know, it can keep a lot of people behaving better because for whatever reason, some people need a lot of strict rules to live by because they can't seem to step out their front door without doing something terrible unless they have some big God hanging over their shoulder saying, don't do this.
Well,
okay.
That's my number one thing. That's why I'm a fan but not a fan of religion. I'm like, if religion is going to keep you from breaking into my house, then I am.
Yes. I mean, you would hope that, you know, people could think of these things on their own. I think religion also is a good way for people to explore the spiritual side of things that we don't understand. But anything that's abused can be bad, whether or not it's God or religion or anything.
Well,
you know, and unfortunately, there's a lot of people who abuse religion, and it's just turned into this big, gigantic circus that's ridiculous.
Well, I think I know we're on religion, but on a side note, I think there's a rise to something that is like a side note to religion. You know, it, like you said, the devil is a scapegoat. That
yes.
In the 21st century, I don't know if you've noticed that the new scapegoat is the Illuminati. You know,
isn't that stuff a good laugh? I mean, seriously, they just, wow. I really wish people would, you know, look up and study on these things more. And not only that, but if people could just get through their minds, there's not one way to believe. It can open your mind up to a lot of things and maybe understand things a lot more. But every time there's something scary happening, or people are told there's something scary happening or going to happen that's scary, they immediately bring in end-time Illuminati judgment they crack. And you're like, wow, come on. This is an old story. Come up with something different because I'm getting bored.
No, we can't do that. That's against the rules. Centuries-wise, I mean, like you said, my God is better than your God. So basically, you'll have the Christians on one side, you'll have the Muslims on the other side, you know, the OG Crips and the Bloods. All the other gangs got taken down already.
It's such a shame, too. It's such a shame because a lot of these religions, if you go back to their inception, okay, when people first decided to start worshiping the sun or the moon or the dirt or whatever it is that they felt like they wanted to worship, you know, a lot of these things were rooted in love, harmony, peace, reproduction, harvest, good things. They were not used to set people against each other.
Right.
You know, so a lot of these big religions, they're all rooted in the very same things. But now they've spread out so different. You know, my God's better than your God. No, you can't believe this way. If you're gay, you're going to hell. Really, it's no longer about believing in God. It's, hey, you know, where do you meet, who you meet with, and what exactly do you believe in? Which interpretation of the Bible do you follow? It's really ridiculous. It's no longer about faith and being saved. It's not.
No, because
you got to have a special hall pass to make it into heaven now.
Yeah, well, you have to believe how I believe, and if you don't, it's because you worship the devil.
You know, I've had a couple of friends of mine. Of course, they will be nameless because they're precious people to me, but they're not very happy with what I've written. And I asked them why, what in particular thing makes them mad, and they said, well, it's that word you used before, sacrilege. I said, well, you tell me what's exactly sacrilege about it. Well, you're taking the words of God and pushing it around. I said, okay, well, how is that any different than when we were kids and we were taught this, this, and this? Like on the website, about it, there's a thing that says, why does Esther like Hosh write what she writes? And I relay a story of when I was a kid when I first started to question what was explained to me that God was. When they started saying, you know, these people can go into heaven, these people can't, depending on how they believe. And I said, well, that's stupid. You know, so what's the, you're mad because I'm trying to get people to question? Questioning is good. That's why we have brains.
No, because they forgot that in that book that we're loosely referring to, that the whole faith without works is dead.
Yes.
They kind of forgot that part. It's just like, well, faith.
Well, there's an awful lot of double talk in religion. I mean, it's just loaded with double talk. They say you're only saved by faith, right? Not by works. But in one of the churches that I went to when I was considerably younger, it was, okay, you're saved by faith, but you have to do all these things. So, okay, so how is that different? Tell me again how that's different from being saved by works, because you're telling me I'm saved by faith, so then just believing should be enough, but then you're telling me I have to do all these things. So you all got to make up your mind, and what it is you want. What is it that Jesus wants? What are you telling me that he wants me to do with my life? Which is another thing I don't like. Don't tell me how to live. I don't think so. I have my own ideas on how I should live.
In reading one of your pieces, The Worst Products and Ideas,
I love that one.
Oh, I do too. I was with you until you dissed the thong, and I have to violently disagree with you. The thong is not a useless instrument.
Your ass does not have teeth. If one's ass does not have teeth, there's no reason to place dental floss between the cheeks.
Okay, but see, because understand, once again, in the chauvinist way, that a man designed the thong.
True.
Yeah, so
I can see that.
It was for male eyes.
Well, okay.
Now, I'll
do a mild retraction on that one.
Okay. I'm with you until you get the thong. I was like, no.
Some of those things, I'm not even sure. You know, I would stay up late at night and I'm typing things away. If I were God the Creator, what would I say about the things that people have created? So I'm trying to think of all these things. And
I'm playing with you. I think it was hilarious, and the majority of the stuff I agree with you to the letter. But I do have one answer for you. You had in one of your cartoons about the laws as opposed to in Alabama, and why?
Oh, yes.
Yes, the why, and I can tell you this: why did they prohibit salt from being sprayed on the railroad tracks? You have to remember, in the old days, salt was laid down to keep evil spirits out. So the lawmakers, So the lawmakers in Alabama obviously were evil spirits. So if you put salt on the railroad tracks,
get rid of all of them.
Well, they'll be trapped in Alabama, and they couldn't spread their hate out everywhere else. And all the other evil people couldn't come there with them. They would instantaneously.
You know,
You feel me?
Have you ever been through that part of the United States?
I went through once. Once was enough.
I went through there actually once going east and then once coming back here to San Diego. I did not like it. You talk about spirits and salt holding men. Well, they should have used a lot more salt, or somebody should have.
Well, but
aren't they sneaking on the tracks?
But you see,
no, the area was just.
I
just thought it was haunted. It was
right. Crazy. Well, see, that's why I said that's the reason why they outlawed it.
Those terrible people. There really is always a plot somewhere, isn't there?
Yeah.
Always.
You got to look at the inner workings. The inner workings.
there's always somebody who makes off with something. But see, which is another thing about religion. You know, they tell. I was flipping through the channels the other day, late night TV, and I see this preacher guy. He's got the worst hair plug job that you ever did see. And he's telling people to go to the phone. And he keeps going quickly, quickly, every four or five words, quickly, quickly. Go to the phone and give a blessing to Jesus. Why they need to bless Jesus, I'm not sure why, because usually it's the other way around, at least so far as I was taught.
Right.
And to give him a blessing of $1,000. And if they did not have it in their bank account, you put it on their credit card. I'm not kidding you. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Are you serious?
That's standard TV. That's not really
terrible. I don't think that's just standard TV. I think that's everywhere. They're preaching the message of prosperity, saying that if you give a certain amount, then he will bless you tenfold. And they're trying to use the scripture saying your gift will bring you before good men. And they're trying to say.
You hit it right on the head. You got it right on the head. They take scripture and make it fit.
Basically trying to say that your gift, meaning your money, will allow you, will open doors for you financially. And that's so backwards, and it's absurd to believe that if you give money, that it's going to make your life better. If my mortgage is $500 and I
Miss 100%. Miss 100%. Come on now. Don't you know it's better to give than receive? And
it depends on what's being given and what's being received.
Don't y'all know that obviously in order for you to prosper, you must give away all your money?
I think I'm going to go invest in a different gospel because I don't like that one.
Yeah, I don't like that one.
I have to keep at least some of my money. That way I can buy my PlayStation games and other stuff.
I liked how you started off in the conversation when you said, and he had that hairpiece. And, you know, we talked about Eddie Long and his wig and how the devil picked that out for him. I'm going to guess that the devil picked that wig out for that preacher that you were watching also.
Oh, he had to rip. He had to. It was really, wow. It was just, it was the worst.
Yeah. If you have on whack clothes, it's the devil's fault. You not brushing your teeth in the morning or at night. That's the devil's fault.
I was told that I was being led astray by the devil. When I first started writing all this stuff before I put it on the internet, I was told that it was the devil leading me astray and that I needed to stop studying what I was studying, which I liked philosophy and religion and history and that kind of stuff, because the devil was using that as a tool to take over my mind and over my spirit and my soul and whatever else he takes over.
Right.
I wish he'd take some of my weight. That'd be nice. And he was controlling.
No. The devil put that there.
Well, don't you know what they say in the Bible about help me out.
We have no idea.
Yes. She's talking about greed and overindulgence and all of that.
Right,
and
the devil,
if you're overweight, you're going to hell because you're overweight.
Right. Because the devil.
They do double speak on that too, because they say don't overindulge, and then they talk about King David drowning his troubles in wine. Okay, so do I drink a little or do I drink a lot? I don't know.
Well, if you want to be a king, you have to drink a lot, and you have to sell out your homies so you can steal their mate.
I have that in the first chapter of the first book of the Tenement Gospel.
Yeah,
and he goes like. Yeah, Uriah has this really, you know, this haughty of a wife.
To get back on track here a little bit. I know you mentioned TV, and I have a problem with the and I know we spoke and we talked about reality TV. Casual observer. What are your thoughts on the current climate today?
As far as like politics and that kind of thing?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow. You know, it's just like a big stupid circus, and the stories are getting dumber and dumber because no one wants to listen to their crap anymore, and people aren't interested, so they're trying to make something interesting. Oh, this thing about government shutdown. What a bunch of bull. Like the government's going to shut down. Please, please. You're going to tell me one of the richest nations on the planet, in this galaxy that we know of that has people on it, is going broke? What a bunch of crap. I don't believe that for 1 minute. That right there is a conspiracy.
I say this. I think it should be something in the rule book that says that if there's going to be a government shutdown, that means we can fire all of y'all like Reagan did all the traffic controllers. We can fire all of y'all. And
mainly the ones that are falling asleep. That's what we need to fire,
No, I'm just saying we can just do a do-over, like the easy.
I mean, shut down everybody. You don't get no more pay, no more fringe benefits for y'all. If you shut down, then shut it down.
No, I'm not even talking to shut them down. I'm saying y'all all got to go.
that would be optimal. That would be optimal. But what would they do? You can only have so many jesters in the court, right? I mean, do you have them all walk the plank? Actually, that might work.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Every last one of y'all into the Amazon with the piranhas.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's
what we saw. Their commercial where they put the meat on the people and they get chased by the
and the lions are running after him. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
I say, hey, if you can get out of that, you can swim the shore without dying, then you're fit to lead.
You're a keeper.
Wow. I don't know if I can think of even one politician that might even come close to making it. I think they all either sink like a stone or just hit the water.
Well,
they chewed to the bone.
Well, but you see, then we can go by the age-old argument like you referred to earlier, that you tie the stone to them, and if they're a witch, if God is with
them, they will fly.
A lot of them say, if God is with you, he will protect you from the piranhas. And
that's right.
We'll know that you are a man or woman of God.
And then all of them are going, we should be on.
Well,
no more of this twisting ever. But all of this Tea Party birther, oh my goodness. Oh, but we need any more political parties.
Well,
they're just making up names for them now, you know. They don't even have really good names for them. There's just a whole bunch of twisted old fogies who got nothing better to do.
Hold on, you got to remember, you in understanding history, that these are the same, they're the same as the Confederates. They're the same people, and understanding that they're the Confederates, because remember, the Confederates were fighting for the rich Confederate slave owner. The myth was that everybody held slaves. No, their poor asses didn't hold slaves. They were fighting for the rights of the rich and wealthy slaveholders.
That's right.
And so you see the Tea Party, and they are fighting for the rich and wealthy,
mm-hmm.
so that in hopes that one day we too shall be the rich and wealthy. But it never works out that way for some strange reason.
No, of course not. Of course not. You know, one of the main reasons why it doesn't is you see what people that they have speaking on their behalf. Wow. I mean, just mentally devoid of any shred of common sense. I mean, it's like sending your worst man out to kick the punt in football.
No, you want to send
your best man out.
Look, think about it. The same Confederate soldiers that was out there, front line, be defending our way of life. Same argument.
Wow.
The exact same people.
They're just not very smart how they do things. And they think some people are at least getting somewhat wise to their stupidity. But the problem is after you get wise to it, you have to do something with that information. Stop feeding into it. Stop listening to them. Stop tuning into them. Stop voting for them. For Christ's sake, stop voting for them. And people wonder what's wrong with our government. And they keep voting assholes into government. That's the number one problem.
Right, but because assholes are the people who are voting in preponderance. And to me, because you vote for like-minded. And the real issue is people with common sense are divorcing themselves from the process, and we have an overabundance of stupid people. Well, I'll just say people who are lacking the intelligence quotient. Does that sound better?
That sounds better.
Well, it's But even that is just so mind-boggling and frustrating to me. Why wouldn't someone want to think it through? Why wouldn't someone want to make the effort to find a better answer, to find a better way? What the hell is wrong with these people?
Well, that kind of makes sense. Well, I mean, but if we're following the tenet of what we've been speaking about all night, I mean, if you think, then you take the devil and the Illuminati out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's your fault.
Yeah, again, there's the gift. Yeah, then they wouldn't have jobs.
Right. And,
well, that's what we got unemployment for.
Right. Well, see, once again, it would be, the blame would be laid at your door. And you don't want to do that.
Well, actually, sometimes I don't mind getting blamed for something so long as it gets someone along the line thinking, opening their mind, opening their eyes, and seeing something that's been looking at them the whole time. Don't just take one answer, one way, one truth, because that's a ridiculous, absurd idea.
Okay.
With all the billions of people on the planet, come on.
Wow.
It's
Lighthorse, are you serious? Are you trying to tell the American people that they should take personal responsibility and be
accountable? Take accountability.
They have to take responsibility, or they have no reason to complain. If they're not going to get up and do something about it, then they need to shut their friggin' pie holes, because they have nothing to complain about if they're not going to work and move and do something, mental motion, physical action, something to make it better.
Okay, well, I got an answer for you. I'm guessing there's somebody right now that's like, I don't have a friggin' pie hole. I have a cake hole.
My kids love it when I use that term, pie hole or cake hole.
So now let me ask you this. Now, we know of your former two books. I read that you have another book in the works, Like a Thief in the Night.
Yes. It's not all the craziness that I've written in Turkey Broth or the Tenement Gospel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a regular novel. You know that Left Behind series, you know, where Jesus supposedly comes back to have into his birthday party and leaves everybody at the door? It's one of those, except that the rapture isn't anything like what it says it is in the Bible. Absolutely nothing, even close to it. Nothing. And that one is actually a lot harder to develop the idea than the other craziness I wrote.
That one should have been easier. I always think it's funny, you know, when people are talking about, oh, the rapture, and God is going to take this chosen few. It's like, okay, so
you know,
what qualifies
you? I'm sorry, right, well, you know what it reminds me of, the rapture? It's like when I was a little kid, you know, I wasn't really good at kickball, so I was always like the last one picked. And if there were too many people in the class and you couldn't have even number on the teams and someone was always left out, well, if you're not good at kickball, you'll be like the last one out. So I don't know. Maybe I'm not going to be one of these rapture, depending on which religion anybody wants to believe in. That's what like rapture is. Okay, you, no, I don't want you. No, I'll take you. You've got cool shoes on. Not you. I'll take you. I mean, come on. Really. Is that the brand of Jesus they're going to believe in?
Yeah.
The Crocs.
Actually,
I want my money back.
Yeah, well, you know, all the money you put in the collection plate, it can't come back. That goes to the wig that the devil helped me pick up.
Oh my goodness! Yeah. All the plot of the devil. I have to get a license plate that says that. All the plot of the devil.
It's his fault. Now I want to ask you. Tell the people, and we've been talking on and on. Tell the people where they can find Esther Lighthorse.
Well, they can go on to Amazon Kindle. You know, they have the whole ebook section there. Just click on the Amazon Kindle. You can type in either my name, Esther Lighthorse, under author, and it will pop up the books that I've written. Or you can type in the title of the books, which is, of course, Turkey Broth for the Spirit, for the Theologian Spirit, and the Tenement Gospel. I have another book that I wrote, but it has nothing to do with religion. It's actually a book on dating.
A book on what?
It's a book on dating and internet dating and how a woman can use internet dating to get anything that she wants.
Wow.
Well, I can believe that. You can probably eat out for free for at least 2-3 months.
You still pay, get everything done, just and without having to do any of it yourself, getting everybody to do it for you.
Now,
and actually, I had the basis for that one. One of my sisters, she's absolutely hilarious. She has a way with men. I don't know how she does it. She's just like, I don't know, like waves a magic wand, and anything that she asks, and she can get people to do anything for her. And I was like, you know, this would make an interesting basis for a book. I think I'm going to write it.
Well, I would guesstimate that your sister has skills.
Oh, she does. She's very smart, very smart, very quick-witted. She was one of my main supporters in getting turkey broth done and the Tenement Gospel done. She told me, okay, no, you need to rewrite this. This one really doesn't sound funny. Oh, that one's pretty good. Keep going with that one. Put in this. Write something about this. Very, very good with that. Very good.
Well,
because it's hard if you're writing it to edit it yourself, because then you're really still only seeing it from one way. It's good to have someone else look at it and tell you, no, this is good or no, that's crap.
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this, although it could be taken the wrong way. You're a Native American. And,
yes.
I mean, I know in my lifetime, I've lived for a minute and a half. You don't really run into Native Americans on the regular. I've known, like, four my whole life.
Really?
Yeah, you're one of four. But
wow, boy, that is not very much at all.
Well, I mean, I didn't grow up on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, the history of this country, it is kind of hard to find Native Americans unless you're in one of the specific areas where you guys were.
Yeah. That's true. Actually, I was, well, of course, born and raised out here on the West Coast. Southern California is really, really big. I never grew up on a reservation, so I didn't really know any Native Americans really outside of my family members who are Native American. Most of them didn't even live in our state. They usually lived in other states. But yes, that's true. Come to think of it, I haven't really met many Native Americans.
Yeah, it's
hopefully they're similar.
Right. Well, that's that thing, the whole the hidden genocide. Hardly talks about.
It was hundreds of millions of people within, what, less than 100 years, North, Central, and South America just gone. Hundreds of millions of people.
Yeah, whole, I mean, I remember when I bought a book on Native Americans, and I remember the two pages that show the tribes that are extinct.
Yes.
And
it breaks your heart.
Yeah.
And that's what people have. You know, that's one of my problems that I tell some of my friends who are very religious. And they say, well, give us something to show that you don't believe in God. I said, okay, if God plans all this stuff, okay, how about all the hundreds of millions of Native Americans that died, okay, during the quote-unquote discovery of Americas? You know, never mind that there are already people on the land that they were supposedly discovering. Still haven't figured out how they figure out they discovered.
That's the funny rub that you say you discover something that people were already there.
Mm-hmm. And you know the answer that they always give is God allowed it to happen to have his word spread. Wow. So he allows hundreds of millions of people to die so someone could spread their version of Jesus around the world.
Well, you see, you there you are spreading that propaganda of lies because according to the official record, it was more like 16, 17 million.
Oh, they're full of crap. I'll just say it right there. They're full of crap.
No, I don't.
They can't even lie. They can't even lie in a believable fashion, you know? They underestimate things so badly when it's their fault that they make it obvious that they're lying.
Well, yeah, because they don't count the people that they killed before they kept statistics.
Oh no! Oh no! Never do that. And even the statistics that you keep, they shave them down. Okay, all the people above 5 foot, and that will count them out. All the people younger than this age, that will count them out. Oh look, we have a nice round number, 10 million. It's a lot better than 110 million.
Right. I agree with you, 100. Well, for lack of a better word, 100%.
Yeah, it's interesting. Some of what I write, I just use a really strange way, a lot of craziness, with a little really strange sense of moxie to try to get people to open their eyes and see there is more than one way to look at whatever you believe is truth or God, everything that runs, the energy that makes everything tick. Okay, there's more to it than this little book that says you have to live this way. No. Take out all those stupid assumptions that you need to live this way and think and love and peace and that kind of thing. And then you go back to starting on something good. Because the way they do it now, with all these lines of separation, no. That should be the first clue that they're way wrong.
Hold on now. We need those lines of distinction. Don't you know?
Well, there's a difference between lines of distinction and lines of separation. The lines on a zebra are lines of distinction, okay? The lines of people in death camps and the lines of people who've been murdered for whatever, those are lines of separation because they were put there purposely to annoy, harass, berate, belittle, condemn, whatever, people who believe differently than another group.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I want to thank you, Ms. Lighthorse, for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. This was truly fun.
I want to say that anytime you got something you want to say, you're launching a book, or you just want to call up and there's something we're talking about you want to touch on, or there's something that you saw and you want to touch on, feel free. Come see us anytime. Open invitation.
Absolutely. Thank you. And you're more than welcome to call me anytime or text message, email, whatever it is that you'd like to do.
Right.
Obviously, I'm an opinionated person you'd like to get.
All right. I'll just call you up out of the blue. No problem.
Excellent.
All right. Thank you once again.
Thank you, Ms. Lighthorse.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
And you have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
All right. All right. That was Ms. Esther Lighthorse, author of the books Turkey Broth for the Spirit, The Theologian Spirit, The Tenement Gospel, and she, of course, has the internet dating book, in which I'm sure if you look her up when you go to Amazon or if you go to her site, which will be posted on our featured guest page after the show, you can click on Miss Lighthorse's picture or name and you can go to her site and read some of her interesting philosophy. Indeed. Oh, and speaking of interesting philosophy, saw last night real quick. I don't necessarily have time for it, but I was dismayed by some things that happened. We talk about personal responsibility, and definitely on our next show, we will bring up the concept of personal responsibility. We're going to talk about a few things in our next our philosophies on relationships and how we look and view things. On that note, once again, I want to thank Ms. Esther Lighthorse for coming on. I, of course, want to thank my astonishing co-host. I'm going to keep giving you a new adjective every show. So
okay, that ought to be interesting.
Yeah, just be ready for it. It'd be astonishing. And it'll be something next show. I want to thank you for coming on the show and being the great co-host that you are. I want to thank the listener for listening, because obviously if you're not listening, it's me and Miss 100% running our mouths, which we're very good at, by the way.
Now, don't underestimate us now.
And on that note, Smooth Drama, I'm Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-word. We're out. Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's it.
All right.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast. Smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.